Obviously, over the last couple of years, has been, that legacy is on God's heart. Because every page of the Bible, there's legacy on it if you look at it. You know, is the history is there, the present is there, the future is there. And we need to think beyond just our little moment in time to what God wants to do in the future. And, that is how I'm thinking, and that's how our leaders are thinking. We want our church is a good church, not a perfect church. For a little church, it's made a bit of a profound splash in the nation in recent times because God just brought us there. But I want you to know that I don't think our church is perfect or anything like that, but I believe this is a good church and God wants to take it from good to great. And, that involves all of us going on a journey together. And if you like the idea, if you like the journey, if you understand the heart, we can really go on that journey together and we can see, not only just have church here, but we can see a region impacted. We can see a nation impacted. And, I believe that nations can be impacted when good, ordinary people capture the heart of God and really begin to stand up and up to that and begin to be the voice that God's called them to be. So, at our legacy weekend, we talked about identifying exactly what are the critical elements that need to be passed on. And we're going to have a legacy implementation team to talk about this because I've now been the pastor of the church here for 25 years. And it's been a great journey, ups, downs, didn't know much at the start, know a little bit more now, but it's been a journey. And that's how Lynn and myself have sown our life. And, other great leaders here, around the place have just stood alongside us and they've sown their life in such an honourable way. And do you know what I believe? That's what God actually wants us to do. He wants us to sow our life. This is the key to being a different, being different to just an ordinary believer and a true disciple, that God wants people to sow their life. It says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, if it falls into the ground, it bears much fruit. Say that, much fruit. So you can either die alone or have much fruit. So God wants to take us from where we're at today into that place of bearing much fruit. So we talked about the critical elements, and there are a number of them that we want to pass on. For instance, we have a message, we have a mandate that we've picked up, and that is unique to our church. If it's the same as every other church, then, hey, why not just all join together? But, you as an individual, if you push into God, the way that you can, you will find that you have an individual mandate that is unique to you. It's true. And it's the same that with churches. It's why they have a mission statement. And, our mission statement is all tied up with the fact that we call ourselves city builders because there's something that we want to do. We want to build lives. We want to rebuild the city. We want to touch our nation by building strong leaders, mums, dads, young people, and that's our mandate. So that we want to pass that on to another generation so that when Lynn and myself pass this baton to the next generation, they pick it up and it's like a seamless transition. That's our heart and that needs to happen. And the second thing that we really want to pass on, and there's quite a few, but the second one is the quality of relationships. The quality of relationships. Honourable relationships is a critical element of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is all about relationship. It seriously is because we have God in heaven and we are his church on the earth. And the clearer and more open that our relationship with God is, the better things are going to work on the earth. Sometimes the frequencies get all jammed up and, we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. Yeah. Thy kingdom is in heaven. Yeah. Let that kingdom become a reality on the earth. Yes. And this is the mandate of the church. Yeah. You know, it's not just to come to church, but the mandate of the church is that thy kingdom, which is in heaven, would become a living reality on the earth, in my own home, in my own life, in my own workplace, and in our own city and in our own region. Now, I tell you, this is amazing, because when you begin to see it, it's so possible, because it only takes a few good men and a few good women who can really give their life in such a way that the kingdom of God can become a living reality on the earth. You know, that's what it's all about. But we've reduced it to church, to building the church, you know, to gathering people for the church. And, you know, we should always invite people. We want the city to come to church. But this is what the Word of God says: I will build my church. Yeah. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it's just not a gathering. It's just not a religious gathering where we come, we hear, we think, oh, gee, that was all right. Or, boy, that was a bit rough. Boy, that was a bit long. And then we go home unchanged. Because it's not about that. It is about the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. Wow, what's that kingdom look like in there? You know, what's that kingdom look like in heaven? You know, you've got to get in there in your prayer life, and you've got to have a look around and get to know heaven. And you'll read it in the book of Revelation. If you don't know what heaven looks like, get into the book of Revelation. Pick up the words, draw a picture in your mind, because that is what we are to build on the earth. We're not meant to be a social club. You know, social clubs are where people gather for social reasons, and we are a social being. So, you know, if you didn't like me and I didn't like you, we probably wouldn't be here together. So at least a few people like me. And I'm not sure who's coming back next week, but anyway, don't worry, I'm not going to be here, so it's okay. But relationship is a critical element of the kingdom.
Yes, it is.
Listen to this. This is straight out of the Word of God, number one. Psalm 133, verse 3. It says, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Sometimes you can walk into churches and there's that much friction. There's little cliques over there. There's little cliques over there. There's people that are angry with one another. There are people that are offended by one another. And this destroys the unity of the house. So something we need to look for and love and pursue is unity in the house. So for instance, if you have a man and a woman come together in unity, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that is, God commands a blessing there. Number two, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says they were in, do you know the next words? One place. They were in one place. That's speaking about a geographical place. They were in one place and they were in one accord. So in one accord, it's sort of like a guitar that is tuned to the same. You know, it's all perfectly tuned and you strum it and it sounds beautiful. And that is what the church was like in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And it said they were in one place and they were in one accord. And then suddenly God moved. So what we need to do as a church is, we are the geographical church that's situated here at 10 Wade Court. And soon we'll be at Cobb and Co Stables a couple of months from now. But we are one church in one place. And we're connected to the body of Christ around about. We're in one place and we're in one accord. And then when we are like that, the suddenlies of God can happen. God can begin to bring a move of God that is transforming into our very midst. So God can do this, but there's all the buts that keep us from, you know, walking together, from being honourable to one another, all these things. And, you know, the thing that we need to continually to work on is our unity. Our unity. You know, we need to make sure that everything that's in there, you know, that stops me from being at unity with you. You know, we need to be able to walk together as true friends. Yes. And in a transparent way, so that everything that is could block us is eliminated. Yeah. And you know, when that happens, this church begins to qualify for the suddenlies. Yes. But why are we holding stuff in our heart and aggravations and tensions? And we think, oh, who does that person think she is? Look at her. You know, she is the, you know, I tell you, it happens in church. Not this one, but it does happen in church. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed. He said, I pray that they, who's they? Jesus prayed, I pray that they, who do you reckon he's talking about? He's talking about his people in his time, but I believe that Jesus was looking right into our heart and into our eyes. In 2018, the church, City Builders in Sale, I pray that they would be one just as the Father and myself are one. I pray that they would be one, because then the world's going to know. That's amazing, isn't it? If I was the devil... There's a film clip called by Paul Harvey on YouTube, If I Was the Devil. You should have a listen to it. It was done in 1965 and it was a prophecy. But I tell you what, if I was the devil, I would get into the church and I would divide relationships. I'd turn husband against wife, children against parents. I'd turn believers against believers. I'd get them murmuring. I'd get their eyes onto the small things that don't count. I'd get their eyes onto the details rather than the big picture. Details are important, but you know, when the details are magnified to the point, everything else can become compromised. But this is what Jesus prayed. It was his prayer and we should pray it. I pray that they may be one. So when I find unity with you, and when I find unity with you, and when I find unity with you and you, we have got something happening. And the devil, do you believe there is a devil? His strategy is simple, divide and conquer. Separate husband from wife, child from parents. I tell you, the philosophies of the age are coming against this. Because God wants us to be one, because that is the ultimate proof of the kingdom. It is when we become one with one another and we become one with God in heaven. Do you know what? We can't be separated from God in heaven. This is true. We are his body. He is the head. Isn't that good? We are the body. You are the body of Christ. You know, this church is the body of Christ, the wider corporate church of genuine believers that believe that Jesus is the way, the only way, is the body of Christ on earth. And we are aligned to the head, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is praying, I pray they'd become one, like me and my Father are one. Powerful. This is what we call the power of one. And when we can harness the power of one, we can genuinely see lives changed. Yes. Yes. We can see our city changed. See, one of the things, and the reason I'm talking about this, is because we want to pass something on to another generation. You know, one of the sad things, I suppose, for me, growing up or becoming a pastor and being here for 25 years, you see a lot of people don't make it through. And sometimes what's in your heart doesn't get passed on to the next generation. Why? Because there's a devil. Because there is a spirit world. And because the devil, our adversary, is going after a generation. You know, we see what is being taught in schools. It's radical. It's wild. you know, this junk that's being taught. Do you know why that is happening? Because there is a devil who is going after a generation. He's going after, you know, our children and our grandchildren. And this is where we need to become so connected to the idea of legacy. Know what it is, know what a tax legacy, but know how to pass it on. And this morning we need to know this, that the relationships, the type of relationships in the house are critical. If we get time today, I think we will get time because God's talking to me about it. This is a communion table. And sometimes we do, we tack it on to the end. Or we find a place for the communion table. But when we take communion, we are celebrating our relationship together, one to another, and our relationship with our God in heaven. And we are remembering the covenant that Jesus established for us on the cross by the shedding of his blood. But it says when you take communion, it says check out yourself. How are you with your brother? How are you with your sister? How are you with your leaders? How are the leaders with those that they are responsible for? This is the Bible. The problem, people can't see past the present. They can't see past the present. They can't see beyond church. And this is what we've reduced it to. I'm amazed, you know, a lot of the bigger churches I visit, you know, on holidays and things like that, they don't have communion anymore. And, you know, you come to church and you fellowship with the back of the head of the person who's in front of you. And then at the end of church, you go your way. And that is, you know, I'm not critical of anything, but this can be the problem. But God's got more than that for us. Because there's something in me that he needs. And there is something in him that I need. And as we partner, and as we partner together, and as we look after one another, and we genuinely learn to love one another, healing takes place. Healing takes place. Miracles take place. I tell you, that, you know, sometimes we wonder, why are there no miracles? It's because we hold stuff in there that's blocking it. So God wants to take us further. The purpose, he wants to take us past the present, beyond church, to purpose. And the purpose is to see the kingdom. To see the kingdom. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, if you know, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what? You can go to church and not understand or see the kingdom of God. Because it's like the eyes haven't been opened. But when God opens your eyes, you begin to see the kingdom. You begin to see it's bigger, it's broader, it's beyond. So the purpose is to see the kingdom, to pursue the kingdom. To pursue the kingdom. Religion is quite happy if you serve religion. But dynamic Christianity is where you and me begin to seek what is unseen. Where do you find it in the Bible? Matthew chapter 6. Seek first, pursue the kingdom of God. Pursue it. Go after God. Look for him. Be passionate about him. Give your life to serving him. Be prepared to travel over the oceans to serve God. Be prepared to break through every barrier for an adventure. You know, we are in church this morning and I'm so glad you're here, but the Bible actually says go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we should be prepared as we go for here. So how am I going to take this message this morning and reach someone else with this message? That is the kingdom.
Yes. Yep.
That's the kingdom. So the purpose is to see the kingdom. I believe my job is to help you see. As a leader, my job is to help you see. Because maybe I've been around a bit and fought a few wars and learned some things. I know this, I can help people see. I can help people see their potential in God. That's my job. Your job is unique to you. But we're in partnership, and this is the power of one. And this is how good churches become great. So the purpose is to see the kingdom, to pursue the kingdom, to bring the kingdom. My job and your job wherever you go this week, is to bring the kingdom. You are an ambassador on a mission. You believe that? The Bible actually calls you an ambassador. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we think, I don't even know what the kingdom of God is. But the Bible says that I am a citizen of heaven. Well, the more you walk with God, and this is my job, this is a job of our leadership, is to help people understand, man, you are from above. You are from above. You are a son. You're a daughter of the King. You're on a mission. You have a mission. You know, I tell you, most people don't get it. They know in their mind that it's right, but when you realize that you are actually on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers, when you realize you are on a mission. Little story about me. I used to go in the church that I was discipled in, which I loved and still have such fond memories of in Albury. One of the jobs I used to do was I used to go knocking every Saturday morning on the doors and ask, say, the bus is going to be dropping by here on Sunday morning. We'll pick up your kids and take them to Sunday school. We used to take 250 kids to Sunday school every Sunday. Just great. But I was fearful about it. I was thought, oh, I have this really a God. I was like that. And then one night, in one moment, a guy by the name of Pastor Jeff Woodward prayed for me, and I never doubted that God was real ever, ever again. And Lynn remembers it. My life got turned upside down because I had a visitation. And I tell you, the next Saturday morning I got out, I was knocking on doors and I was saying, you get your kids on that bus. They've got to be there. My life changed. Now, I'll tell you what the problem with a lot of people is, they haven't experienced that. But I remember waking up on the floor after that guy prayed for me, and it was like I was in heaven. I was there. It was just radical. And then everything changed. And has never been the same ever since. There's a purpose beyond church that we need to understand. That's our mandate. Two, it's expressed through honourable relationships, honourable alliances of people. And God sets us on a purpose together. It's great. I'm very, very fortunate because on the inside of me, I've got purpose. It was like imparted into me. I believe that night it was imparted into me. But it's still here and you're hearing it. But not only that, we have many people in this church this morning that share the same heart. I see more and more picking it up and going, I'm going to live for this. Thirdly, God has arranged his people in the house so that they can be purposeful and fruitful. I believe in the house of God. I believe that we need to be locked in. I believe that we need to be connected to men and women of God who can lead us. I believe that we need to bring ourselves into that place of servanthood in the house. And the Bible's full of it. It's so important. And if you can own it like I own it, you know, I know that Wade came out of a deep, dark place. Do you know what? I know what the future is, friend. I know this young man's going to serve God on the streets of Sale and across the region with the fire of God, because there is no going back. It's what I see. It's why we need to be connected in. This is what it says in the psalm. It says, Psalm 92, verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
They shall bear fruit in their old age. Man, I never used to think of old age till I hit 60. And that wasn't that long ago. But I started to think about it. All of a sudden, hey, I'm getting there. But I tell you, I'm going to be fruitful in my old age.
Yes.
I don't care what people think, what they say. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm on for the ride. I'm going for it. I'll throw water all over people. Don't you worry. I'll throw tissue, I'll throw anything. I'll throw pot plants. I've been to PNG. Come on. They throw pot plants. And if you are not in the spirit, you're likely to get hit in the head with one. Is that right, Helen? Where's she gone? Oh, there she is. Isn't that true? I had never seen anything like that. We go up there quite often and they get the pot plants and they throw them. So, mate, it'd be beautiful down here. That'd get you on your toes. Yes, it would. We're going to introduce it next Sunday. Look out. Hey, say this after me. I am planted in the house of the Lord. Now, don't say it if you're not, because you're lying. I'm planted in the house of the Lord.
God has set me in this place.
God is establishing me in this place.
This is a beautiful place.
This is an awesome place.
This is an awesome place.
I am growing here.
I am going to flourish here.
My older years will be my best.
It's going to get better and better.
I'm getting happier and happier.
I'm getting stronger and stronger.
Because my heart is planted in the house of the Lord. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
See, that's how you're meant to be.
Yeah.
The reason this guy's going from strength to strength is he's locked in.
Yeah.
We got Lee through.
Yeah.
Took me a few years to get Lee through. and we're teaching him to smile now, and he's really becoming good. Oh, dear me. Listen, it says, like the cedars of Lebanon. God is going to make you like the cedars of Lebanon.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you've never felt like that in this recent time. But God's going to make you like the cedars of Lebanon. John, you are a cedar of Lebanon.
Yes.
To my son. Cedar of Lebanon. Do you know, a cedar of Lebanon, it's not a huge cedar. It's probably the height of this building, but it's big. And it grows on the side of the rivers and it lasts 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Do you know, 1,000 years in God's language is forever.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of people are temporary because they haven't planted their feet.
Yes.
And they drift.
Yeah.
They drift. Do you know what? This may not be perfect. It's not. But you got to plant your feet somewhere and go, that's where I'm grounded. That's where I'm rooted and I'm going to grow there. And you know, I know me as a leader, I did not want this. I was more Gold Coastish. I'm sure God spoke to me about the Gold Coast. I was so convinced we had our bags packed. The prophet came in and said, what's with the bags being packed? You're staying. Literally happened, but God began to plant my feet.
Yeah.
I'm planted.
Yes. That's right.
I'm like a cedar in Lebanon.
Yeah.
The stronger the attack that comes against me, the deeper the roots go.
Yeah.
Serious.
Yeah.
But for some people, because they're not planted, the stronger the attacks go, they sway. And a whole generation now, there's a whole generation, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, that were born to be planted in the house of God that are not planted anywhere. So you plant yourself. You let your roots go down deep. You love the place. You love it. I love this. I love it. I love being married to Lynn. I love it. Church should be like that.
We love you too.
Yeah. Thanks, Aiden. I love you too, mate. But do you know what happens in churches? Gee, what's he talking about? I don't think that's in the Bible. He went too long. I've heard those jokes before. Yeah. You know, he's hard, he's this, he's that. And you wonder why your kids get ripped off. You've got to teach your kids. We've taught our kids. Not all of them have totally accepted the teaching. But they're in the ballpark, don't you worry. You're doing good. My son's here. He's a man of God in the making. He is a man of God in the making. My daughter's here. She is a prophetess, I tell you. Yep, she is. And we've claimed this one. And you know that. She's a champion. She's got it in. I tell you what, she's going to touch this nation. She has already. Plant yourself in the house of the Lord. Plant your feet there. Lock in and give somebody access to your life. If you give them access, you're not fighting back. You're listening and you're considering that could be right. It's beautiful. Let's talk about relationships anyway. I'll give you a few points here. What do we call these relationships? We call them kingdom relationships. Kingdom relationships, because they're different. We could call them covenant relationships. So we don't want to call it covenant because that can upset people. Actually, we'll call them covenant. Because everything in the Bible is about covenant. Everything. God cannot bless you. He cannot make you strong unless you come to a place of covenant. Serious. God made a covenant with Adam. God made a covenant with Noah. God made a covenant with Abraham. And you're a beneficiary of that covenant. God made a covenant with Noah. God made a covenant with David. But the best covenant, the better covenant is the covenant, the new covenant between myself, you, and our Heavenly Father with Jesus as the mediator. It's awesome. There's the standard. So it's not a casual thing. So let's talk about these relationships. One, these relationships should be for life and destiny. In other words, when God brings you together with a person, it's for life. Not till I change my mind. Not till I change my mind. You know, when people change their minds, it messes up the generation after them. I work in a school, do counselling and that. Nearly every broken child, this is the problem. Yeah. Nearly every one of them, and then you put a band-aid on it. Yeah. Trying to teach them resilience and all this stuff that's good, but was meant to happen in the family. Yeah. See, where mum and dad love one another and in a covenant relationship together, and they honour one another, it's honourable, it's beautiful. Then everyone's going to grow up and find their place in the house of God. This is it. They're for life and for destiny. You know, not everyone that comes here is going to stay for life. It's okay. But some will. First, God pinned me down. And others will come and join me in that assignment. That becomes like, this is my life's assignment. That's why I'm blessed, because I've got people that are doing that. The city has become just as important to them, this mandate. So covenant relationships are for life. Covenant's the standard. every promise in the Bible is conditional on covenant. Now, God's going to call people out to the nations, but when we go, there is an honour for where we grew up. You hear me talk about Albury often, don't you? I love my old pastor up there. He reckoned you should stay here. You're called to be here, just like I do to you, because pastors do that. And now God called me out, but I've got such an affection for that man, his wife, and that place in my heart. That's covenant. But God's going to draw people together for cities, regions, nations. Every promise in the Bible is conditional on covenant. So God's way is husband and wife make covenant together. It's till death do us part. It's never going to end. That's it. And that provides the security for the next generation. But see, people get the cart before the house, the horse. They go make babies before they have covenant. And then there's a generation that pays. Now, I tell you what, God's graceful, forgiving and loving, but we've got to come back to the biblical standard of covenant. Covenant relationships are for life. It is God's highest and can't be counterfeited. You can change the marriage definition. You can do what you like, but this is God's highest and it can't be counterfeited. No way. This is the real deal. God calls people together. He brings them together. It is not designed to take away from people. It's designed to bless them. It adds to them. You hear this joke? I love this one. I heard it on Facebook this week. It's a killer. It said, if you marry the right woman, it's like heaven. You marry the wrong woman, it's like hell. No, it says, I've got it right. If you marry the right woman, you're complete. And if you marry the wrong woman, you're finished. And if you marry a woman who likes shopping, you're completely finished. Anyway, covenant is meant to add to you. Hey, listen to this. Covenant relationships can be broken by thinking wrong and wrong patterns. As soon as you begin to think wrong about a person. You know, so often we hear something that someone said, don't understand it, and we begin to judge it. The world's good at this. But when you have relationships that are precious to you, you've got to keep thinking right. You think highly, you think positively, you think honourably. Because in that way you build the relationship. See, when offence enters into a relationship, you begin to break the relationship, because even the best relationships can break if we move away from honour to accusation. In other words, when we judge another person's motive, the Bible says, don't judge, don't do it. So in our mind, we keep thinking highly. We don't let a negative thought come into our mind about the people that we are called to work with. The minute I do, the minute I think wrongly about my leaders, then there's something can just come in between there. Now, if I was the devil, I'd do that. I would sow thoughts of doubt. I would sow rumours. I would sow unforgiveness. That's what I'd do. And I tell you what, the devil has been around for a lot longer than you and I, and that's what he does. If he can get you to think that I'm thinking badly about you, he can begin to break our relationship. The quality of the relationship is determined by the quality of thought. And this is where we need our mind continually renewed. We need a healthy mind. We need to think of one another in a healthy way. I see the potential in you, not the problems. Hey, you can all see my problems. You can all see my weaknesses. But if you let them govern you, soon the relationship begins to break down. So the way it works, this is why our relationship has worked for 39 years, the way it has, I never let a negative, never. And you've never heard me say a negative thing about her, ever. It hasn't happened, ever. Not even once. But I do joke about some of the things she does. That's honour. And that's how you can go further and further and further, and your relationship can get better and better. And everyone's safe. The power of thought, when we move away from honour and we begin to accuse, we can literally destroy the best relationships. It's happened. Number three, covenant relationships draw boundaries for others. They draw boundaries. God is a great God. He covenants his ideas. So marriage is meant for two people. If there's the third person in the marriage is God. Once someone begins to break into that boundary, that marriage becomes threatened. Marriage places a boundary around others that the demonic cannot break into. There's no room for others. And even in the context of covenant relationships in a church family, the Bible tells us to do good for those that are of faith. In other words, we protect our own first. So there's people out there that need help, and that has got to be our heart. But there is no point me reaching out to change the world out there if I'm not meeting the needs of those that God's given me. Amen. So God wants, this is such an amazing thing that we have called the church. So I give priority to my spiritual family. I have brothers and sisters who I love, but my priority's here. Number four, honourable relationships cost you. They cost you. So you know, we've got a generation now that go into a relationship for what they can get out of it. You know, they're trained that way, and that's why it doesn't work. Our generation, not so long ago, we were trained by what we could give, what we could bring. So, you know, it's sort of funny because we were custodians for Heidi there for a number of years before they got married. And Julian said, you know, he started to express his interest. And I said, good, how much money you got in the bank? None. I said, well, you better get cracking. I tell you what, he saved that $5,000 like you wouldn't believe. He did it quick. Hey, it's what you can bring to a relationship. Now, if you have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians. This is cool. It shows us how to live. It's actually what the Bible says. Jesus went up, he gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. These are gifts to the church, to bring the church to stature and maturity. So we need to be people that hang around, people that have got something prophetic and apostolic about them. Yeah. Ephesians 4, you read it. They're there for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we come to the unity. That verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is in the head, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Do you know what joins us together as a body? It's what you have. It's what you can give. That's why the best leaders on earth are givers. The best leaders, they'll overcome everything so that they can bless someone else. When the church thinks like that, hell can come against it, but it won't stop it. It has an indestructible healing life on the inside of it. Honourable relationships cost you. Cost you. Cost you when you have children. Especially when you got three of them at uni. It cost you. These are covenant relationships. But the rewards are amazing. The rewards are life. See, the world has gone for de facto. It's what I can get out of the relationship. It's all messed up. But God's got better than that for you. And better for us. Honourable relationships cost you. Number five, they will affect the lives of others. When people are joined together in covenant, it affects the lives of others. Profoundly. When our covenant with God's right, and when our covenant horizontally is right, our life becomes like a shelter. I've now become like a cedar of Lebanon, but others are taking shade under my life. I am here to affect the lives of others. I'm here to make way for others. I'm here to make way for others. Not just for myself. I'm here to make way for others. Lynn and myself are here to make a way for a generation. Our leaders are here to make a way for others. We're here to bring blessing to others. We are here to provide safety for others. This church should be the safest place in the city. If the pattern that comes from heaven is established the correct way. These relationships, number six, will bring increase. Increase in your life. Yeah. At the start, it was Lynn and myself. And half a dozen kids later, increase. But when people join their hearts together, God can bless. You know, if we can get together and we can think more corporately, things can happen. Yeah. That's how we ended up with the stables. God gave us the dream 30 plus years ago. But when people started to get together to make that happen, it's like a dream became a reality. Increase. Do you know what? The blessings of Abraham are for you. God wants to bring the blessings of Abraham to you, which is increase. God wants to increase you. He wants you to abound. This is true. I'm not a prosperity preacher at all, but this I do know. The blessings of Abraham are for you. Increase is for you. God wants you to do well. He wants you to do better. He wants you to become everything that He's called you to be. He wants you to arise, shine. He wants you to take your place in society. He wants to increase you. It is the original mandate that God gave to Adam in the garden. Go into all the world. Now, what was it? I'll have to have a look. It's avoiding me. Be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. It's the original mandate that's over us. So it's more than just me. So these relationships, honourable relationships, covenant relationships will bring increase. Number seven, our relationships are the ultimate testimony this church has in the city. It's funny, you know, I've entered into a few business ventures with Christians, not from here, but nearly every one I've been ripped off. It's funny, isn't it? I don't know whether it's because I'm gullible or because the people that I've been involved with or have been a bit like that. But it shouldn't be so, should it?
That's right. That's right.
people out there are watching us. They're watching us. They're watching how we deal with one another. They're watching how we speak about one another. They know if you are not speaking honourably about your brother in the church, they know you're not real. They know you have not yet conquered that mountain in your life. They know you're just like them. Our relationships are our ultimate testimony. And this is really the reality. People will feel safe around you. They'll feel safe around you. For years and years, we've had Sunday nights at our place. Don't know who's coming. Find out during the day. But do you know what it's like? It's like people come there because they feel safe. People want to feel safe. These relationships will be the strength of this generation. It's covenant relationships. Covenant means to cover, to protect. It's awesome. Do you know what? There's a whole city out there looking for this. There's a whole city. There are schools full of kids looking for this. But the devil will do what he can to let the grit get in there and mess things up, to bring a bad testimony. Amen. You good? So one of the things that, you know, the legacy we want to pass on to another generation is that our relationships will define us. Our relationships will define us. Our love for one another will define us. The way we speak about one another will define us. Our care will define us. Not the how dynamic the ministry is. Not how great the music is, not even miracles on the street, although I absolutely am into that. What will define us is our relationships. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay his life down for a friend. You know, I tell you, you may have a friend that's sitting beside you this morning that is like that, and if you are, you are a blessed person. Greater friend I have not got than Lynn, because I'll tell you what, she's laid her life down for me. She's done it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Lay your life down. Get over it. Get over it. Sometimes I wonder, why did she hang around? Year one and two was a bit rough. She was still domesticating me. But here we are, and it's great. I just thank God for God. I thank God he intervened into my life because I needed saving from myself. It was funny, really, but anyway, we won't tell all the stories now. But Jesus, when he came into the earth, he showed us the way. He showed us the way. There is no other way to live your life. See, what we want to do is we want to take up our life. We want to live our own life. We want to go our own way, do our own thing, win our way. But the gospel is different. The gospel is this: lay your life down. And it starts by letting that little door of your heart just open a little bit, little weeny bit. Sometimes you've got to get some of that WD-40 and spray it on the hinges because it goes, and that's what you can be like. You know, old crusty thing, you. Don't worry, anyone can change. Anybody can change. Anybody can change. This is your year of breakthrough. I want to say it over you. This is your time. This is your time. That's just for you, straight from the Father in heaven. Your time. You're in the right place. Don't you worry. real. God can heal. He can just come and heal and align things and fix things. And you'll find answers you never dreamt were possible. He can do that. He wants to do that. I really love my kids, you know. Sometimes I get a bit, you know. But generally I love them. My son, I heard he was getting pushed around at work. He didn't tell me. One of the other people from work told me. I thought, I'm going in there. I've been in there before, haven't I, Nita? Picked on some guys bigger than me. But this is the heart of a father. I believe you've got a heavenly father who wants to do that for you. Yeah, you have. You have. Church without this is empty. It's fulfilling our religious requirement. But when we find one another the way that God wants us to, and we really learn to love one another the way that God meant us to, we have found a most precious jewel. And bodies will be healed, minds will be healed. Depression will flee. There's a powerful testimony right here. It'll flee. All sorts of miracles will happen. But do you know what I reckon? The best miracles are the ones that happen over time. Best miracles are the ones that happen over time where God begins to bring someone in. And, you know, like this young lady here, Emily, she's a miracle happening over time. Been here about 5 years, but a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of anxiety and things like that. And God just bit by bit healing and healing and healing. Healing. Give God time and learn to give your heart and God will heal you. He'll do it. He will do it. He'll set people free. I tell you, when I came to church this morning, I got around the corner down there and I felt really sort of like, oh, whoa. You know, like I go into PNG and preach to 2,000 or 3,000 people. Doesn't bother me a bit. But this morning I felt God wanting to do something in someone's life here. I felt God wanting to do it. I felt God wanting to do it. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Amen. Do you want to just come and, you know, if that's you, if you believe this morning, I just feel like God's going to come and intervene in my life. Just come and stand here at the front. I'd love to invite you. I want you to find God. I want you to find His Father heart. I want you to realize that there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers, who heals. He's your Father and He's looking over you and He wants you back in His life. He wants you back in His life. I believe that people in church, and it's like you've done church and you've worked hard, but you've become shut down and hard and disappointed. But this morning, God wants you to come and He wants you to find Him again. What is the point of going through a ritual? What is the point of coming to church and fulfilling a requirement if your Father is not there, if the Holy Spirit is not there? What's the point? God wants you to know Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants to burn in you again. He wants to burn in you. He wants to burn in you. He wants a passion to be set free on the inside of you. He wants to burn. Can you hear my heart this morning? I believe God wants to do that for you. I believe He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. If that is you, just step out here. I believe that God's going to touch. God's going to set people free. God's going to set people free. Don't hold back. Don't hold back this morning. Don't hold back. Just come. Just come and stand. So, you know, the people that I worry the most about are people that have been here forever and just become routine and humdrum and serving because that's what we do. But God wants your heart back. He wants you back. He wants your passion back. He wants you like that day you discovered that, hey, Jesus is real. Man, I was going to church and I was knocking on doors because I thought that's what you should do. But then all of the sudden, God blitzed me. Amen. God blitzed me. This is beautiful to see you here. It's beautiful to see you here. You know, one of the things in the Bible it talks about, in the last days, love will grow. Love out there. Cold love, warmth, but people are doing what they're doing, get something out of what they do. Passionate love that is real can become healed and transformed and changed.